Well, I love you folks and appreciate you putting up with us today. The opportunity is ours to be able to be with y'all. And I sat down during the singing both this morning and tonight, but I'm having trouble with my back. But I don't want to worry you with that. But I just thank the Lord that He's been good to me and let me be able to maneuver around in these days and still be able to go.
Amen.
So we thank God. We're praying for our brethren out there that's really having a lot of problems. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the day. I want to thank you for the good fellowship that you've blessed us to have. And the men of God that you've let us meet down through these years. I want to thank you for the Faith Baptist Camp, Brother Sammy, for Jim, and she can't go about and do anything anymore. And Lord, I pray that you would help Brother Stennett. I pray that you touch him. Brother Herbert, I pray, dear Lord, for Brother Hall. I just pray your helping hand will help us in our years as we've reached years of maybe coming to the close of our life. We want to thank you for every day that you've given us, for the opportunity, most of all for preaching the Word of God. Now bless your people, help them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm preaching tonight from a little thought of a verse. I'm studying, like I told you this morning, from the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham had a nephew. His name was Lot.
Oh yeah.
And they were real close. And it was a heartbreaking experience, I think, for Abraham.
Yes, sir.
That they had to separate. And hardship came. When I looked over in the New Testament, I think it's in Luke 17. The Lord mentioned when He's talking about the days of Noah, these last days that are approaching us, and the days of Lot. And when He mentioned those days of Lot and Sodom being destroyed and all, He concluded with a little three-word verse. Remember Lot's wife.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk to you about that tonight. I feel like that's maybe what God wants me to do. And so if you turn with us back, please, to the book of Genesis. And I love the passage where your pastor read this morning. And I love every time. If a man of God takes one of these characters and studies and preaches, it just thrills me. I'm thankful to the Lord for everything that we learn and can learn about that. I'm thankful to God for how good He's been to us. In the book of Hebrews, the pastor read there this morning, and I've just really just kind of incorporated in my heart. But over in chapter 11, verse 9, it talked about a strange country. That's the country that Abraham was to leave and to go. Then he talked about, in verse 15, that country.
Right. Amen.
And Abraham, when he visited any country, he was a sojourner, he was a pilgrim.
Right.
He was just passing through. That's the way our life is.
That's right.
We're just simply passing through. And we're wayfarers in this country. But then in verse 16, there was a better country. That's the countries that Abraham followed. Now, in these events, the pastor talked about this morning, his method was to get out. And he was obedient. And I'm grateful to God for it. Now, when you come to chapter 13, you know the famine struck. And Abraham went down to Egypt and made a crucial act of something that was against God.
Right.
But anyhow, when he saw that he was wrong, he corrected himself, he come back from Egypt. Now in chapter number 13, verse number 1, so if you'd like to look with us in Genesis 13 and 1, the Bible said that Abram went up out of Egypt, he, his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And then he talked about Abraham. Abram was a very rich in cattle, silver, gold. He went on to journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where, and the preacher preached about the place this morning. I'm really thankful for what I gleaned from his ministry this morning. And I wrote down some things. In my study, I've noticed that this place was a place that had two things in it that pilgrims cannot do without.
Yeah.
There was a tent and an altar.
Amen.
And I want to say to you that it implies to us that to be a pilgrim passing through, we need to remember what it takes to become what God wants us to be.
Amen.
And I found where it said here, said unto the place of the altar which he had made there, and Brother Stennett uses this phrase. He says that T-H-E-R-E, there.
Yeah.
Said that's a zip code of the children of God.
Amen.
I like that. I kind of incorporated that in my preaching. But the Bible says, at the first, there Abram called on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let me say this to you. You cannot come through this country that we're in to get to a better country without yielding ourselves to the fact that the Lord is in charge. And what we have to do is we have to give ourselves to the altar of the Lord. We have to continuously go before God. Very important is the nature of talking to God and allowing God to help us. Now, in verse number 7 of that chapter, the Bible tells us there was strife between these two brethren. Now, I want to talk to you first of all about this matter of the place. It's a strange place. Pilgrims are known by where they live and what they live with. And really, it's no matter whether famines come or whatever, the tent and the altar speaks. In fact, I've got something in one of the notebooks, but I don't have it with me. That I read when I'm talking about these tents and altars, and it talks about the pilgrim's life around the tent and around the altar. I don't have that with me, but then along with the place there is a problem. That strife is building. That strife is working. In fact, it's between the herdsmen, and according to the Word of God, here's what the Bible said. There was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Now, evidently, you see, as they come along, living by faith, walking by faith, the tent life was a life of faith. The life of an individual who walks with God as a pilgrim, he can't handle strife. Strife and division just won't work.
Right.
And so there's strife that comes up between them. So Abram does something that's probably the outlook of a great, great Christian. He says to Lot, now we're going to have to divide off. We can't stay together.
Right.
God won't bless this division. But you go one way, and I go another, and we'll just separate on good terms.
Right.
Now, you continue doing what you're doing. That's what he should have done.
Right.
And then I continue what I'm doing, and we'll just be separate because God has been so good to them. In fact, I read to you the verse that Abraham was rich.
Amen.
He had cattle, silver, gold, things. In fact, it's not a sin against God to be rich.
Right.
I appreciate your song, son. You're a real blessing to me tonight. I never knew that there were so many verses to Amazing Grace.
Amen.
And I appreciate it.
Amen.
I think there ought to be more.
Amen.
And what I'm trying to say to you is, we as the children of God, as pilgrims going through, we have to do anything we have to do in order to get unity among the brethren.
Yeah.
You ought to always seek the unity of the brethren.
Sure.
And that's what Abram did. Abram said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll let you. He said, there's two ways of travel. And said, I'll let you pick the one you want to go.
That's right.
He was a great, outstanding character in the way that he handled the business.
Yes, sir. Right.
In fact, the Bible said in verse number 8, said Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my husband and thy husband, for we be brethren.
Amen.
Now, as I thought about this and thought about the problem that's there, let me say this to you, that Lot had the choice and Lot made the choice. And we need to kind of look at this verse 13. Let's look over here to verse number 13. And chapter 13, I'm sorry. And let's look at verse number 10. Verse number 10 said, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. When things look like it should be right, it may not be the right thing.
Right.
Sometimes the preacher mentioned this morning about the very things of beauty. The thing that might draw your attention or pull you aside may be the wrong thing for you. And what's happening here is Lot is looking for the best. He's not willing to accept the fact that his uncle has offered him the best end of the deal. But he's looking at the fact, well, if he's going to offer me the best end of the deal, I want to get the best place. I want to be on the top. In other words, somewhere or another, this great confusion that's going on in life between these two. Evidently, Lot is interested in being more important, having more and doing more than Abram is.
There you go.
All right, this is a bad situation that happens in your life. But anyhow, he said it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, that's another great point, and thou comest unto Zoar. Now, there are five cities in Zoar, and when God destroyed them all. Now, here's the thing I want to say to you. In verse number 12, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent, and here's the word, toward Sodom.
Right.
I preached a message some years ago. It's been a long time back. Can't remember everything about what I preached. But I remember preaching somewhere between desire and destruction, we fail. And there, you know, you got to be careful when you make a decision. But he still had a tent while he was with Abraham because his life was a life of faith.
Right. There you go.
But somehow or another, I don't know that Lot's wife had a lot to do with it. It's just the fact that this man probably wanted to be greater than Abraham.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm pointing out to you. This matter of the problem has to be faced. What happens that makes us realize that God wanted us out of all the history of Sodom and the destruction of Sodom and everything that God did to destroy Sodom, what is it that makes God say, remember Lot's wife? All right, I want to talk a little bit about that. Go to chapter 19. And in chapter 19, we have the story where that God comes in, the angels come in, they visit, and Lot goes out to meet them. And he's interested, and maybe he's thinking that they're going to stop by and pass on. He don't want them to stop because he's in trouble. He's in trouble because he knows that he's left that tent, left this altar, left the life of faith, and moved to fulfill something in his heart to live a life of sight. It doesn't matter what you find there. If you can't give it up, you're in trouble.
That's exactly right.
Now here's what the Bible says. The Bible said the two angels came to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He knows trouble is headed his way. Now in Sodom, there are several things that is left and lost. First thing I want you to notice is he left his tent, his altar. He lost his wife and his family.
Yes, sir, he did.
Now it's a sad commentary when you get to a place where you really feel like that this is going to be a whole lot better for you. This is going to make you richer, wiser. This is going to be better for you. This situation is going to improve things. And you've got that in your mind. But what God wants you to be, God will not let you be anything else.
That's right.
You're going to have to get to God and stay with God and walk with God. And so then I look at this matter of what happens to him, and I remember these words, and it sort of pierces my heart. Remember Lot's wife. Out of all the things that could happen in Sodom, well, Sodom was destroyed. Not even ten was found whenever the great man of God called on the Lord to try to help him out.
Right.
I wonder sometimes if he had asked for more, if he had asked for less. But you see, I noticed there that whenever the angel of the Lord had dealt with that, he turned and walked away. You see, once you get down to where God's not satisfied with giving answers, he moves on.
Yeah.
And so what happens here is the destruction of Sodom is coming. Sodom is going to be destroyed. So Lot left his tent, left his altar. He lived there evidently on the wall. Somebody I read after said he could have been the mayor.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how long he spent there, but we're talking about an event when God destroyed a city and destroyed five cities there. And when God destroyed them, he destroyed them because of a limit of time. I don't know how long it's been that he left his tent, but he's been involved. He's been involved in some things that was very familiar, that made life familiar to him.
Right.
And you see, what happens here is the Lord tells him the remedy for what he can do and his family can do. So the Lord tells him, you've got to leave Sodom.
That's right.
Now, here is a command from the angels that come there, and they say to him, it's time to go. And I notice down here in verse 13, it said, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, spake unto his sons-in-laws that was married to his daughters, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When you leave the altar, when you leave the tent life, when you leave the enactment of faith and walking with God, then you can't think right. You can't do right. And he did not continue to lead his children the way he should have led his children.
That's right.
So really they're mocking him. And what they're saying is, you have no testimony with us. He was not really, the sons-in-laws were not really excited about anything. I mean, you're talking about delivering us from a destruction.
Right.
Well, we don't believe that. Most of the reason why that people are rejecting the church and why the pews are empty in these days is because they do not want, they do not believe, they think you're a little off your rocker when you talk about the Lord's coming back. He's going to take the church out. We better be ready. Better get ready. Get ready to leave this world. And they're not interested because they don't believe. Many of our families will be lost because they will not believe.
Yes, sir.
And that's so sad, isn't it? But then I think about this. He's lost his testimony. But in verse number 16, in verse number 15, the Bible said, and when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy daughters which are here. And you notice the angels of God excused these boys, Lot's nephews, Lot's son-in-laws, which are here, lest thou be commanded in the be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And verse number 16, here it is. While he lingered. Now, so much has been impacted in these, I don't know, might have been several years. But it's been impacted into his life. He's grown away from the tent life. He don't want this anymore. He's not satisfied with calling on God in the morning and calling on God in the evening and sacrificing unto the Lord. He's sick of it.
Yep.
So he leaves those things of faith, articles of faith behind. All right? But here's what Lot does. He lingers. And then the Bible tells us in that verse, it said, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord, and I love this part right here. This is so interesting. Being merciful unto him.
Amen.
They brought him forth and set him out of the city. Now here they are. Verse number 17 says, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. The command is there to point to us that there is no hope outside of doing the perfect will of God. We cannot follow God unless we do what God says. We've got to be obedient to the Lord. But the Bible tells us down in verse number 26, said his wife looked back. Now evidently the two daughters and Lot proceeded on. They're headed toward the mountain. They're headed toward relief. They're headed into a place where God is going to deliver them and help them and to keep them from being destroyed. On the one hand, it ought to have been Lot's wife's decision to live on. And she became a pillar of salt. Somebody said that, I heard this, and somebody said that she had the presence of salt said it's evident that she was a good mother, but said she turned to a pillar of salt because of God's judgment. She should have continued with her husband, two girls, for at least one reason, for guidance and direction. Do you know that the Bible talks about a woman in her address to the home and everything? She is the guiding of the house.
That's right.
And you think about her being a guidance to the house. She would have kept her daughters from getting their daddy drunk. She would have been able to talk to her husband and say, you can't do these things.
Right.
She could have been a wife to her husband while she is. Remember Lot's wife. She failed her family. And what she did was she swapped out. Now, I want to stop and say something about that. There's probably a house on the wall that's nothing like a tent out in the field.
You're right.
There's money. There's life is different here.
Yeah.
And the familiar things, I guess what happens to Lot's wife is she gets to thinking about the familiar things, the things she is familiar with, the things that she's learned to love, the things that has bettered her, the things that's picked her up, things that's helped her. And sometimes when people get things, they can't turn them loose.
That's right.
And the reason that they're facing the unfamiliar. The unfamiliar is God's will here. And what God is trying to say, your daughters fornicating with your daddy. I mean, it's a serious situation.
Yes, sir.
And the things that happen, you know, two nations are born out of these children that were born. Ammon, Moab, God's washpot. Well, I remember that Ruth got out of that. She's a real blessing to the Moabites. She's a favorite of Boaz. And thank God that she was able to. A lot of help comes from anything that you have. But remember that these familiar things that bring us to sight and brings us to prestige and honor and look, they looked up. In fact, when those two men came there, those sodomites came on the street at night and they wanted to have experience with these two men.
Right.
And it's evident that they had to approach Lot because Lot has them at his house. Now they broke the door down. And you'd been a whole lot better off to have been somewhere with God, walking with God, doing the things that God's pleased with.
Yes, sir.
But oh, when the sad commentary comes, it's whenever the unfamiliar things of this life. It's a wicked place. It's the worst thing that Lot ever thought about doing.
Yes, sir.
And Lot's going to suffer greatly from it. But these two nations that are born are really worse than ever. And so I want to stop and say this to you. Regardless to what opening channel comes in your life that seems to look like it's going to better you, you better watch out. Another job. It may look like a green pasture, and it may be sitting over a septic tank.
Right.
You just can't tell what's happened.
Right.
What we need to do is understand that the will of God is to be followed completely.
Amen.
And if he stayed with this pilgrim life,
amen,
he could have been over in this hall of faith.
That's right.
Where Abraham was. And we need to realize that our life needs to be lived in such a way that we could be placed into the Hall of Fame.
Amen.
It's not the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Where decorations are made, buildings, and people are excited about being somebody. But it's the Hall of Faith.
Right.
That pictures to us we are a redeemed people. So I'm thankful for the pilgrimage, and for the great opportunity we have to walk with God.
Amen.
And I want to say this to you. I was thinking about this morning, and I think the Lord maybe wants me to say it. Biscuits. I love biscuits. I mean, and I can tell you when I've got a good one and when I've got a bad one. But if you take the flour and eat the flour ain't worth nothing.
Yep.
And you take that shortening and you taste that shortening, it just ain't worth nothing.
Yeah.
And you take that milk, buttermilk makes a better biscuit.
Yeah.
And you take that buttermilk. Now, I like buttermilk. If there's one thing out of the three I can handle, it's the buttermilk. But if you put them together and mix them together and put them together and you'll make, keep a little flour around the edge, you can make some good tasting stuff.
Amen.
The lady one time, I mentioned that back yonder years ago. And life is like that. Some parts of it is bitter. Some parts of it is better. But it won't ever do you any good until you mix it together.
That's right.
Until you do the total will of God. And this lady came down at the close of the service and she said, I love what you said about those biscuits. She said, I make them all the time. She said, but one thing you need to remember. I said, what's that? She said, you pinch off just a little bit of it at the time. I said, oh. She thought I was feeding them the whole batch. So let me say this to you. Whatever God is doing in your life, He wants to do it readily.
Amen.
He loves us. He wants to help us.
Amen.
And I want the Lord to help me in my life. I want my best days to be these days.
Yeah, amen.
When I'm leaving this life and it's, I mean, I get up sometime and I'm really depressed about not feeling like just getting up and going to work. I love to work in the garden. I love to do that. But I'm just not able to do it like I used to be. And the preacher, I'm thankful for him. He jumped down there and come around here. And I thought to myself, I said, show off. No, I'm grateful. And I watched Randy. Randy was on the program the other day. And I watched Randy run down the steps and run. And I said to the Lord, I said, bless him, Lord. But you'll get to where you won't have that.
That's right.
Your steps will get slow. But I'm grateful to God. Praise the Lord and bless the Lord for every ounce of the way.
Amen.
And I want to thank the Lord. He's been good to me. And He's been good to this church. I know that. And the folks will be back. They're on vacation now, some of them, but they'll be back.
Amen.
And I want to praise the Lord for this good church and for the opportunity that God's blessed me and Brother Farrell to have a heart together.
Amen.
And I thank You. Lord, we thank You for this time together. And I praise You for Your people. And I pray that You'd help us, Lord. Help us always to remember just to take a little portion and pinch it off. It'll taste the same. Help us to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Bless us to continue on in what we know is right. Thank You for the tent life of the pilgrim. Help us, Lord, to dedicate ourselves around the altar of the Lord and to call on the Lord, and You'll hear. And You will help us, and we're thankful for it. All right, Pastor.